This morning we want to look at serving each other hospitality. We all do well in that, right? We want to serve. We want to be a blessing to others. So how do we serve each other? How do we look out for the welfare of others? Jesus Christ is the perfect model for that. He served well. He healed the. He poured out his life for the people. He healed the lame, the sick, gave sight to the blind. He touched the untouchable. The lepers, especially, you would not dare touch the leper because of receiving that disease yourself. But he touched the untouchable. He washed the disciples' feet. He became servant of all. He loved, he served, and he did it well. John 3:16, which Sam referred to that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life." He gave his life for us so that we can be set free. We can walk in the freedom. As I see it, serving and love go hand in hand. No greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. In many ways, I think we do well as a church in serving. But may we continue to grow in that. May we continue to encourage each other to do that well, better than what we have in the past. And not just here, but also beyond these walls, as we interact with our co-workers, as we interact with our friends, our neighbors, or whatever it may be, may we serve well in those areas. And even for each one of our children here this morning, how well do you serve your siblings? That's not a problem, right? You just serve them well. You want what's best for your siblings. If your sibling wants a toy, you'd gladly give it to him, right? Am I on the right track? But I know for us as a family, we can grow in that area. Even for my wife and I, to be able to serve well. I know in different cultures, that is more of a strength in different cultures than others. I know when 2014, when Jonathan and I were in India, they served us well. They decked us out with flowers. They, just whatever, they honored us and even took us to the wedding that we were invited to. And we sat way up front with the family, like the first row, way up in front, and experienced an Indian wedding, and it was a blessing. But would we do that, right? But it was just we experienced the meals, like after the wedding, rice and curry. And it's the real stuff. But yeah, it's just a blessing. Also, 1 Corinthians 13 illustrates it well. You can do all kinds of things, but if you don't have love, it means nothing. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become like a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gifts of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I can remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Serving. Even though I serve and give everything to the poor, but if I don't have love, it means nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself up. Is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, seeketh not her own. B- beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth, for where there is prophecies, they shall fill. Whether there is tongues, they shall cease. Whether there is knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. For that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, or love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So we can do all kinds of things. We can serve well. We can do even give everything away to the poor, but if we don't have love, it means nothing. Matthew 20, 25 to 28 says, "And Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you, but whoso desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoso desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Again, the Son of Man, he served well. He was the perfect model for us in serving. He gave his life for a ransom for many. He laid his life down for us. Matthew 23, 11, 12. "But who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoso exalteth himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted." Why is that so hard, right? We all want what's best. We want the best food. We want the best, the biggest. Or is that not? Am I the only one that does that? We like to be served too. But I guess the challenge here this morning is, can we lay down our preferences and serve others? Galatians 6, 9 and 10 said, "And let us not grow weary in well-doing, in doing well. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are in the household of faith." Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good. Let us serve each other. Colossians 3, 23 and 24, "And whatsoever you do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that ye from the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." Then Hebrews 13, 2 is a very familiar verse. "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." We all know the story of Abraham served the three strangers, the Lord and the two angels. He could have sent his servants out and have his servants serve them, but no, he served them himself. He killed the fatted calf. He served them the best that he had. Which reminded me, when we were in India, one night in the cover of darkness, they killed the fatted calf for us, and we had beef. You might think that's not a big deal, but in India, that is a very big deal, because the cow is a sacred animal in India. You don't kill a cow or a calf. So for them to kill the fatted calf was almost like the death threat to their lives, because if the Hindu neighbors would have found out, I mean, they could have been killing their ancestors, so to speak, because of how sacred the cow was. But yeah, we didn't just have chicken, which chicken is a big deal over in India, but we had beef that night. "Do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." It's Hebrews 13, 16. 1 Peter 4, 8 to 10, "And above all these things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to each one another without grumbling. And as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We all do that well, right? We are hospitable. We don't grumble when we're hospitable. We serve well. And each one of us, from the youngest child to the oldest person here, right? We serve well. We are hospitable, and we do it without grumbling. No hands? But maybe grow in that. Maybe walk in that and serve each other as Christ has served the church and gave his life for it. Because in Revelation 7, it talks about, I mean, that's what we will be doing. 7:15, therefore they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits in the throne will dwell among them. We will serve him day and night. We'll be before the throne of God, and we will serve him day and night. Matthew 25:40, and the king shall answer and say unto him, as surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these my brethren, you did it unto me. Inasmuch as we did it to the least of these my brethren, we did it unto Christ. First John 3:16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, so we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. As Christ has laid down his life for us, so we ought also to lay down our life for the brethren. I also want to look at a very familiar story in Luke with Mary and Martha. There's also a danger of focusing on serving and not fostering a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a ditch on each side. We can focus on serving, we can do it well, but if we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it we're not choosing the better thing, like that Jesus said to Martha. Luke 10:38-42. Now it happened that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Like I mentioned, we can serve, and we can serve well, but the relationship with Jesus Christ, out of the abundance of love that we have for Christ, our serving needs to go. Like I mentioned in the beginning, loving and serving go hand in hand. It's not, if you do one outside of the other, like 1 Corinthians 13 says, you can do many great things, but without love, it means nothing. Faith in Christ Jesus. May we have that. May we choose the better part. Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. May we have that faith in Christ Jesus. May we sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word. As we read his word, may we just bask in the love that Christ has for us. Here's a quote from Oswald Chambers. When the Son of Man cometh, who shall he find faith on the earth? We all have faith in good principles, in good management, in good common sense, or in good works. But who among us has faith in Christ Jesus? Physical courage is grand. Moral courage is grander. But the man who trusts Jesus Christ in the face of terrific problems of life is worth a whole crowd of hearers, end quote. At the end of the day, we need to have faith in Jesus Christ. We need to trust him in everything that we do. And may what we do in serving each other, may that be an outflow of our faith in Christ Jesus, of our love that we have for Christ. Winston Churchill said, "We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give." So let us not grow weary in well-doing. Like I read in Galatians 6:9, "For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Therefore, if we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those in the household of faith. We want to sing this at the end as well, but may this be our prayer as we sing it at the end. All to honor Jesus. "Father, may I serve like my Savior. Give me eyes to see what you see. Teach my sinful heart to be humble. Help me be your hands and feet." And the second verse says, "Father, may I love like my Savior. As he had compassion on me, may I work for justice and mercy for the one in greatest need." And the chorus says, "God of love, would you lead me? Take this heart, make it holy. Help me serve through the strength of Christ. Because of what? All to honor Jesus with my life. All to honor Jesus with my life." In verse 3 it says, "Father, may I tell of my Savior, how he offers hope for the lost. Help me share the grace and forgiveness that he showed me at the cross." Because our heart is holy, because God has redeemed us, because God has set us free, may the outflow of that we may tell of Jesus Christ, of our Savior.